On today's episode, what you can learn from Lori Beth's ruined love life, finding your husband's secret kink, and LB helps you do drugs. All that and more on today's episode of Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
Help me out, almighty Lori Beth Denberg. Give me that vital information so I get the red dots. Who do you? The church of Lori Beth is in session, and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talking my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on.
Hello, kitty cat bunnies. It's Lori Beth Denberg, and welcome to the Bad Advice Podcast. Woo! With me, as always, is Clark Crozer.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am doing okay. I'm a bit sore.
You're a bit sore because?
Because I got my second COVID shot. Woo! Beep, 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 beep. Oh, yeah. It was pretty amazing. I got my second COVID shot 2 days ago.
2 days ago, and you're still a little sore.
Still a little sore, but it's Moderna, so it's like the super vaccine. So I'm okay being a little sore for the super vaccine.
Clark's hulking out very slowly.
It was funny because remember I told you that there was that older Asian guy that was
in line. I was going to ask, what was your experience this time?
So the second time I went, it was clearly, you know, you're told to come back on, you know, everyone's told to come back 2 weeks from that day.
Yes.
So I sat down. There was no line this time. Everything was a lot more quick and you're able to get into the doctor's office and you got a shot. But I was waiting in the doctor's. They had everyone sitting at the front of each of the doctor's office. So they put a chair right at the door.
Oh.
So you're not really in the doctor's office. You're just sitting at the doorway. So
you're doctor adjacent.
Exactly. So you can kind of look around and see the other people waiting in the other rooms. And I definitely saw the old Asian guy. I don't think he recognized me at all, but I was like, hey.
He just starts talking to you again.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm glad he came back and got his second shot.
Me too. Yeah, he seemed pretty old.
This is what I'm concerned with, or it's like, get the first. Oh, I got my first one, and then put off, especially people in LA who are flaky.
Yeah.
It's like, I knew I was going to meet you at the movies, but I just flaked. It's like, please, people, don't flake on your second inoculation against a deadly virus.
Yeah. So that was, yesterday was a lot harder. Today's been a lot easier. But it's still feeling, I still feel a little just body sore.
Yeah.
But you've been out of the house.
I have been out of the house.
How?
I'm a little melancholy.
Oh, no.
Well, because good friends of mine, Tina and Mark.
Yeah.
Hello, Tina and Mark.
Hi, Tina and Mark.
They're not listening.
Oh, okay.
They don't need any advice. They have a spectacular life. They were both vaccinated.
Okay.
Every time I say vaccinated, it sounds like we're talking about dogs.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta take myself to get vaccinated and fixed.
Or babies.
Yes.
One of the two.
Exactly. And while I'm under for the vaccination, clean my teeth.
Right.
Because I don't like it when you do it when I'm awake.
That's true.
So they were both, you know, fully vaccinated, and they went to visit Mark's parents in Florida, who are old. And how many more times are they going to get to see them?
Sure.
So they did that, and I am their go-to house sitter.
Yay.
And pet sitter. So it is just one of my favorite places to be in the world.
Nice.
It's in Santa Monica.
What are the dogs?
The dogs are, she used to have two doggies, but Calvin went to doggy heaven.
Oh.
But so she has Benny, who's this little white fluffball cute, who knows what.
Okay.
She has adopted / found all of her animals.
Nice. That's great.
And then I also would walk Sophie, who lives one house away, not next door, but the next one.
Okay.
And I would take her and Benny to the park every day.
Oh.
And then I also got to sleep and snuggle up with Cotton the cat.
Nice.
Cotton is such a sweet pea. And there's other cats who just could not give a shit.
Right. Sure.
They couldn't care less. But the food disappeared, so I've done my job. But they have this, oh my God, I love it so much. It might be my happy place.
Oh.
They have this big outdoor patio, totally covered, big, long wooden table with a bench.
Nice.
Outdoor furniture, like a sectional couch thing.
Nice. Okay.
Fireplace.
Ooh.
The kind that you just have to click.
Oh.
And it goes.
Oh, nice.
And a big TV where I did watch some Star Wars.
Oh, right. Right.
Star Wars, The Clone Wars.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I'm inching my way toward finishing that.
Right.
And
deep into
still
season three.
Super good. Yeah. So, and I take my computer out there and plug it in. I basically live on this outdoor patio while I'm there.
Awesome.
And then when I'm not on the patio, I'm in bed with Cotton the Cat swirled up on me, purring like a maniac.
Oh, how many days were you there?
I got to be there for like a whole week.
Wow.
Almost a whole week. I came last Friday and I left, you know, this morning, which happens to be a Friday.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, there's never going to be a time when I stay there long enough, but Cotton, if you're out there listening, I'd be surprised because A, you're a cat,
right?
And B, you're really old and deaf. So unless that's
but if he is, it happens to be listening.
Yes. Feel the vibrations of my voice, Cotton. You're a good kitty. So anyway, so it was nice and relaxing, and it's just really smushy place to be.
Oh, that's so great. I'm
now
so happy.
Now I have to go back to my regular life.
Well, Karen called you. We're going to be going to Mexico in like 2 or 3 months.
That is right.
So you get to come here and stay with our boys,
too. I get to stay with Bags and Flinny. There was one time, I don't think it's when you were on the Cruise of Death.
Okay.
I don't think that's when it was, because there was a time when I stayed here and I was really sick.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember coming back and you were talking about how there was just a mountain of used tissues in your bed. And then I still found like 20 more used tissues.
I did try to clean them up.
You did.
However, whatever it was, I got so sick.
Yeah.
This is years ago.
Years ago.
A few years ago. And your dogs were just the sweetest. Flynn, who's the annoying little one, was just the best little, you know, puppy laying by my feet under the covers.
Yeah.
Clark and Karen have an awesome, like, hardcore sparklet-y machine that gives, like, instant really hot water. So having tea was just a breeze.
Yep.
And Karen felt so bad. She's like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, actually being here is like a million times better than being sick at home.
It's like you get to live in your own little spa.
I do.
A spa with puppies.
Exactly. That would be my ideal spa.
Puppy spa. Not a spa for puppies. That would be a hard one to name, because you couldn't do a puppy spa because people would think that it would be a spa for puppies.
No,
you'd have to make a human spa that includes puppies.
Well, that would be the puppy's paw.
Is that like the monkey's paw?
There is a Burke Williams is one of my favorite spas from back in the day
when
we went places and I had money. But there is a Bark Williams.
What?
Dog. Yeah, there's the same as pho restaurants like really punny names.
Right.
Like
fucking
awesome.
Delicious. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or 9021 pho.
Right.
Or pho, because that's what everyone's going to call it.
Right.
There are an equal amount of like delicious, punny dog grooming places.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
So yeah, but that's among my favorites, Bark Williams.
The only one I remember is, I think somewhere in Granada Hills, there was an Indiana Bones. I remember Indiana Bones.
Oh, I like it.
But yeah, I guess it must be a big thing.
You get your dog back and his face is melted off.
You chose poorly.
I told him not to look.
Okay, well, we're deep into this episode. We haven't even started a question yet.
Maybe where are we?
We should move into these questions here. So
okay.
I'm very happy you got a week to play with your puppies.
Yes.
That sounds fantastic. But let's move on to our first question. And our first question is from a young lady named Nyla.
Okay.
And Nyla asks, I went to my doctor for my physical and started crying because I am 100 pounds overweight. I was hoping he would put me on a weight loss drug or Adderall to help me lose weight, but instead he diagnosed me with depression and put me on an antidepressant that has a side effect of weight gain. Do I find another doctor?
Ooh, thank you, Nyla.
Yeah.
I relate to a lot of your questions, unfortunately. I would love nothing more than to be like, I have no idea. This is so foreign to me.
That would be nice.
We've spoken on the show many times about the different reasons people are overweight. Yeah. And a lot of that has to do with self-soothing and self-medication.
Yep.
To avoid or, you know, just friggin'
escape
and eviscerate feelings. Yep. So not knowing you, I mean, we just met, and thank you very much for your question.
Yes, yes.
Your doctor might have, you know, must have seen something in you and in what you told him for him to think that depression was, you know, part of the issue.
Or if it was a bigger problem than the weight gain.
Yeah, it, precisely that, you know, the weight gain is a symptom of depression, or that's one of the things that's, you know, people don't necessarily understand.
Right. Cart before the horse.
Yeah. And it's like even same as doing drugs, same as drinking. It's the symptom of the problem.
Right.
It becomes the problem right. from anybody looking on the outside. And from on the inside when you're just addicted and then you're like, well, I cannot live without this.
Right.
But I would say you don't necessarily need a new doctor. Mm. I actually love that. I had to switch doctors.
Oh, no.
Because I went in on two occasions and saw two different doctors from the same practice. Mm. And I went in, I don't know if my ankle, I don't know if I had a sore throat, whatever they were, these two complaints on two totally separate visits.
Yeah.
The first thing they both said to me was, you need bariatric surgery. That was the first thing. I have thought a lot about bariatric surgery.
Okay.
And I've known a lot of people who have had it. Mm. And I know that at least right now, it is not the answer for me.
Mm.
Because I know that my food and my weight are the symptom of right. the bigger problem.
Right.
I could get my stomach cut up and, you know, made the size of a shot glass. And I'd spend a year throwing up and I would lose 150 pounds.
Right.
And then I would eat through it.
Right.
I have friends that have just eaten through.
Is that the sleeve?
The sleeve, regardless.
Any of them.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And I have friends who have been very successful with
sure,
it.
Sure, sure, sure,
I'm not saying, I'm speaking from my experience.
Well, but you're specifically calling out this exact question. This is exactly what you were saying.
So the reason I don't think you necessarily need to switch doctors is because this doctor didn't say
exactly.
Well, you need bariatric surgery. That's the fix for it.
Right.
You know, surgery, it's like first do no harm. The Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Is it Hippocratic?
No, I think it's yeah, it is.
It
Hippocratic.
Is. The Hippopotamus Oath. Yeah. You know, first do no harm. The last thing a doctor should want to do is cut into your body.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so when I was like, my shoulder really hurts, you need bariatric surgery. Thanks so much. That's yeah. really helpful. But the fact that your doctor brought up depression and prescribed you medication, which I've been on several medications as well, that weight gain is one of the possible right. side effects.
Right, right.
Every medication, like ask your doctor if Bloody Blue is right for you.
Right.
It has a zillion possible, you know,
side effects. Yeah.
So I wouldn't worry too much about that. What I would do is taking this diagnosis from your doctor, which I'm assuming is your, you know, general practitioner.
Sure, sure.
And say, okay, do I trust this? Let me talk to a mental health professional to explore it deeper.
Mm.
Because if you are worried about, you know, there's something to be said for GPs diagnosing depression and giving out antibiotics.
Yeah.
Antidepressants and stuff like that.
Yes. Yes.
So not that I'm saying your doctor's bullshit, but to take what he had to offer you based on what you were presenting to him, you know, I might seek out a psychiatrist to, which psychiatrist has such a bad vibe because it's like in the 50s, it'd be like, you're going to a psychiatrist.
Right.
But, you know, there's therapists and then there's psychiatrists who are the doctors right. that can prescribe meds. And if you're interested in that, I would pursue that. And then also you could ask a psychiatrist who might have a much fuller scope of all the antidepressants, medical stuff out
yes.
there, that he might say, okay, here's one that doesn't have that as a side effect.
Absolutely. Because I have many, and throughout my life, I've had tons, hundreds of friends and family members that use antidepressants. And it is a bit of a crapshoot.
It
like
is.
Like you can, one med can be the absolute 100% perfect med for one person, and it's 100% wrong for the next person.
Yeah.
It's so finicky and picky.
Yeah.
The different medications. It's so odd, but it really does benefit you if you're choosing between a wide variety and just the go-to that your yeah. general practitioner will just throw at people.
Yeah. And I've been on my crazy pills for years. Let me think about it. Maybe 20 years.
Wow.
And I have taken two vacations from them.
How long?
One was, I mean, probably about 6 months. Mm. One was self-imposed where I was like, I don't want to like, none of this is anything.
Yeah.
My brain, you know, it's just affecting my brain. These aren't helping anything. I'm going to go off them. And that did not work.
Mm-hmm.
I have, you know.
Did you taper off? Because.
Oh, no. I just stopped. I just stopped.
Depression meds are horrible if you just stop.
Yeah. And certain symptoms of self-harm, of like certain like really strong shit
yeah.
came back. So that was the one time. I don't think that was that long.
Okay.
But the other time that I took a quote unquote vacation was not my, it wasn't my choosing, but I didn't know I could reach out for help. I lost my health insurance.
Oh, of course.
Because I hadn't, this is, you know, whatever, 15, 20 years ago, too.
Right.
I hadn't worked enough.
We live in a country that doesn't care
about
you.
Yeah. So I hadn't worked enough, and I lost my health insurance.
Wow.
And lost and didn't have my, you know, my meds anymore.
Huh.
And that shit got so fucking dark.
Wow.
The darkest time of my life. And I don't even want to get into how dark it was. Maybe another time.
Were you still using at the time?
Yeah.
So you must have been also self-medicating there too.
Oh yeah, definitely. I was nice and depressed and smoking a depressant 24/7.
Right.
So that was great. I'm really helping myself. And eventually, you know, I talked to somebody, but it was like, I would wake up from my bed, barely be able to make it to the couch and just be this, like, it was like going down the drain. I watched Dickie Roberts' Child Star.
Oh no!
About 7,000 times.
Oh god!
With and without the director's commentary.
Oh no!
It was really rough.
Oh.
And eventually, I talked to some people. They said, "Oh, you can, you know, get an appointment with the city."
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, the whatever it's called, you
right.
know, the county.
Right.
You know,
right.
Get help, get therapy, get medication, and that's what I did eventually.
Okay.
And I was still using
because
they'd be like, you know, they take blood, you know, blood,
sure.
a blood drive.
Yeah,
if there's
yeah.
a blood drive, get blood. But I'm sure they'll test for COVID if you can't get in for a test. You know, they take, you know, PP tests and do it. And I'd be like, and it wasn't secret. I'd be like, you're going to find weed.
Yeah.
Because that's really all I was on.
And this is all you really were using way before it was legal anywhere too. So that was another thing.
All these little bitches that just say, well, there are two shops down the street from me. And I'm like, Dick, I had to drive 45 minutes to the parking lot of the strip club to meet my friend, quote unquote.
Quote unquote.
I know. So yeah, this is when it was still clandestine and difficult and you never knew what you were going to get.
What an oddly specific rock bottom.
Yeah.
Like that's a rock bottom that would only happen to you.
Yeah. It's excellent. Everything about my life has been excellent up to this point. The point is, Nyla,
yeah,
when I, you know, reached out for help to a professional set of people and got the help, Clark is right. There's a lot of different medications.
Tons.
We tried stuff on. I put on the boots. I put on the Prozac. We saw which fit better. Someone else put on the boots and Prozac, and we said who wore it best. But I finally, you know, with the doctors, found a little cocktail that works.
Perfect.
That really works.
Good.
And it doesn't fix everything.
That's, you know? Yeah, I don't think that's ever what they're claiming it to do.
No, but that's the point. Also, when you go to the county, they don't give you anything fun.
Oh, dude,
they're
really?
Not handing out the Xanax, yeah. You know, which is a lot of the problem, too, is
yeah.
People have these issues and get, you know, opioids
yeah.
or get, I don't think Xanax is an opioid. It's, I can't remember my training from the detox unit, but to get something to help you with depression, with something else like that, I would seek out the help of a specialist
yes.
to do that.
I do think, though, Nyla, that your doctor was fantastic for not just immediately claiming it to be obesity and you need to have surgery.
Yeah,
so
that's
a great thing. I think you shouldn't lose this doctor.
Yeah, I like your doctor
I
for
like
not
this
saying
doctor.
That.
That's a good doctor.
If that's what you wanted him to say, you should see my old doctor.
Or any other doctor.
I know. So Nyla, hang in there. I'm glad your doctor set you on this path. And just know I didn't want to go on meds.
Yeah.
I tried to go off them. I saw what it did.
Yep.
And so take whatever trust you have and build on that.
Yeah.
And hopefully you start to feel better.
And fuck stupid stigmas.
Right?
Ugh.
Ugh.
All right. Well, let's move on. Hopefully that helped, Nyla. This next question I am so excited about.
Okay.
Because I have put this in the lineup to be a question for easily 4 or 5 episodes.
Oh,
and
no.
It keeps getting cut.
You cut it? Because why?
Because of time. We keep running out of time and I keep having to cut it.
Because
so
I run my fucking mouth nonstop.
So I put it really early in this episode.
Okay, good. What
so
is
that
it?
So we can finally get to it. It's a simple question. It's a very simple question. It's an anonymous question.
Okay.
And it's a sex question.
Ooh.
And it's, here's the question. What do you do when you're the adventurous one, and then in quotes, female,
ooh,
and your husband is kind of just plain Jane in the bedroom?
Ooh.
That's from Anonymous.
Tell him to turn on the podcast right now. That is something I can relate to.
Okay.
I am very adventurous and Clark is boring. You know, we have talked on the show before about sex toys or yep. marital aids, yes. as they would say.
In the 60s
or the 50s, or back massagers, as they would say in the Sharper Image catalog.
That's right.
That is definitely something to bring into the equation, even if you're the only one using them, Anonymous.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going for it.
Yeah.
And your husband's there.
Mm-hmm.
He'll either take interest.
Yeah.
Or he won't and walk away.
Yeah.
And that's a bigger issue.
That's that. Then you're looking at a really big issue.
Yeah. And I don't know how, you know, deep. Did she say it's her husband?
Yes.
Okay. Your husband.
Husband is just kind of plain Jane.
So I'd assume you know each other fairly well.
Yes.
But if sex is an issue and you're wanting more and, you know, I've always felt it's really helpful. I've found it's really helpful.
Yeah.
To really dig in and share fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found that a lot, not just with partners of mine, but talking to other friends and this and that.
Sure.
That a lot of times it's like, yeah, I really like this, but I don't want to tell him. He'll think blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You're already fucking married.
Right, exactly.
You know, like, it's going to take a little time to unravel that if you're like, I'd really like you to hang me upside down and, you know, eat salami off my buttocks. Right. I don't think salami would necessarily. Oh, no, salami would stick. Pepperoni might not.
Sure, but why would it be on the buttocks?
Honey, don't judge Anonymous.
All right, sorry.
Her fetishes are her own.
Okay.
So that's one thing that I would suggest. I mean, I like that no matter what the sex question is, my first answer is like, well, get some sex toys. It's like I have my own shop. I'm like, go to my Etsy shop.
Seriously, I think we found a new brand that you can work with.
Oh, God, and the tip of all of them is just kind of my face. Oh, dear.
Every time you come, it just screams out, quiet! This is a vibrator!
Oh, that's so distressing. That's so disquieting. If you're going to be in bed with your wife, find her goddamn clit.
There you go.
You idiot. So if you haven't, Anonymous, told your husband your fantasies, or if you haven't got any from him, I would push it a little.
Yeah.
I mean, at the very end of the day, if you are dissatisfied, which you're not saying you are, you're just kind of saying like,
he's playing Jane and I'm, you know, a little adventurous.
So I would say, you know, if there needs to be some trust there, tell him your fantasies. Try to get his out of him.
Yeah.
I had a relationship that was like pulling fucking teeth. And when he finally opened up, it was like, oh, we are into the exact same thing.
Yes. And let me just say from a different point of view here, from the guy's point
of
view.
Yes, please.
There's also, I'd say, a big section of men that don't fucking know. Like they watch porn and they like having sex. And that's about as much as they know about themselves.
Yeah.
And everything else is, you know, there's stigma attached to everything.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys are embarrassed. A lot of guys are shy. And maybe they do have things that they would like to try, but they feel like as soon as they say something, they're going to be judged or they're going to be, you know, scare their partner away. Whatever it is, I think there is a large section of the male population that would respond so well if it was brought to their attention. You know what I'm saying? Like if somebody came to them and said, hey, I think we should go to a sex shop and find some things to play with.
Yes.
They would respond a lot better than you would think. And these are the guys that would never in a million years come to you and go, hey, I think we should go to a sex shop and buy some stuff.
And as Clark noted in a previous show, now you can wear a mask when you go into a sex shop.
Now is the perfect time to go to a sex shop.
It's the perfect time for a plain Jane shy.
Yes.
Whatever. But Clark also brought up something that and this could be controversial.
Okay.
But porn.
Yes.
Porn people hate it. They're disgusting. They love it. They think it's empowering. They think it's using women, like whatever it is.
Right.
I like porn.
Yeah.
And that's a way to just, I mean, put it on.
Yeah.
If he's watching, you know, Fox News.
Or
take it out. And
if you're interested in trying something, find a porn where they do that thing.
Yes.
And show your partner that porn.
Show and tell.
Yeah. See what their reaction is to seeing somebody else doing something you want to do.
Yes.
Also, I do have to say, if you do want to start something, if your husband is plain Jane or your wife is plain Jane, whatever it is, and you want to try and get them to be more adventurous, you gotta make sure to slowly ramp that shit up. Do not try to hit that at 60 miles an hour. It's going to fail miserably.
You put the blindfold on him like it's a surprise birthday party and you end up like in an open field with a pop-up sex club.
Exactly. Yeah, that's going too far. You want to start slow.
Start slow and ask him, hey, find a porn of something you like.
Yeah.
If he can't verbalize it.
Yeah.
You know, show me. I'm a big proponent of show me, don't tell me.
Absolutely. And I constantly tell people men have very weird sexual hangups.
Yeah.
And talking is one of them. So sometimes it's hard to get a guy to talk about fun sex shit he wants to do. But in the end, maybe it'll be worth it.
I hope it will. Please write back.
Anonymous.
Please send the video you show him to AskLoriBeth.com.
Or the toys you buy. Or if anyone out there makes toys, I think the LB dildo is just like 10 seconds away from making $1 million.
We'll do one of those like molds of my face.
Of your face.
And my face to start with. And we'll take it from there.
I love it. All right. I hope that helped.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
So let's move on to question number three. And question number three comes from a young lady named Caroline. And Caroline says, my partner is mostly great, but he does this thing when we're watching TV where he'll pause to say something, then press play, and then he'll keep fucking talking. It's been 6 years and he doesn't show signs of stopping. Is it time to just throw the whole man out? That's from Caroline.
Okay. I'm really sorry to say, Caroline, that I do the same thing as your husband.
Oh, no.
And I'm so glad to hear from you how annoying it is because of course, every time I stop it, I have something fabulous to say.
Of course. Well, hey, I watch TV with you. You do have funny things to say sometimes.
Yes, I do. But, I won't usually stop it unless I'm like asking a question, you know, like I'll just talk over shit.
Right.
But I don't think this is something to throw the whole man out over.
No.
He said he's mostly great. And this is the only, I mean, unless the other part that's mostly not great is like he beats you mercifully, mercilessly.
There you go.
Mercifully would be a strange way to beat someone.
Yeah. I'm so sorry, punch.
I mean, part of me. Does she say she's asked him to stop?
No.
Okay.
No.
You could ask him to stop. You could take the remote away.
Yeah, that's my solution.
Yeah, take the remote away.
He can talk as much as he wants. You just need to take control of the remote.
Yes. And an angry shh goes a long way. Tell him to quiet. It's a TV. Yell library style.
There you
quiet.
Go.
It's a television. Or honestly, like a really fed up, shut up would be, I mean, just when you're exasperated.
That would definitely work.
Yes. But I feel like on the scale of issues with relationships, this one's kind of far down the list of cut and run.
Yeah.
So please talk to him, Caroline. And
take that remote.
Take back control.
Take the remote.
Yes.
You, as long as you're on top of the remote usage, there's no reason why you... this is another man-woman thing.
Right?
It's like the person that is in charge of the remote should be the person that's best at being in charge of the remote.
And if he won't shut up, get some Bluetooth headphones. If you have a smart TV, that's your listening agent.
There you go.
He can sit there and talk all he wants.
I like it. All right, let's move on to our fourth question.
Okay.
Our fourth question is actually from somebody named Schrodinger's Gatto.
Oh, he is on Instagram.
Oh, is he?
And I love his name, and he's awesome.
I believe he's asked the question before, but Schrodinger's Gatto is back again. Oh, is it a she? Might be a she. Anyway, Schrodinger's Gatto asks...
No, I think it's a dude.
Is it a dude? Schrodinger's Gatto asks, hey, COVID wrecked my trip to Sweden and Iceland back in April 2020, so I'm looking forward to picking that back up soon. I'm one shot in to my vaccine, so I'm hopeful. I'm adventurous, single, and traveling solo. I want to throw caution to the wind. I'm not meeting anyone at touchdown, but I wouldn't mind meeting someone while I'm there, wink, wink. I need your amazing advice, my beautiful friend. I've never been to either country, so I'll take your bad advice as gospel. Hope y'all are well and are doing amazing. I wait with bated breath, TTYL.
Schrodinger's gato. Your question is alive and dead at the same time. If anybody doesn't know the theory of Schrodinger's cat, go look it up. Yeah. It's pretty friggin' awesome.
Yes.
It's all science-y and like theory-ish. I do often ruminate on it, which I don't know if that makes me a nerd or just awesome.
Oh, a little bit of both.
But exactly. So, okay. First of all, Finland must be around there. So find the chickie who wrote to us about Finland last week.
That's right.
I can't remember her name.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I'm so sorry, chickie. So you guys could go on a big trip if that's true love and you met through the podcast.
There you go. He's looking for exactly. He's looking for love.
So I, of course, oh, this is we're how much 20 minutes in and this is the first time I've had to say, make sure you're inoculated. Make sure Sweden is accepting American cargo.
That's right.
All that kind of stuff. And COVID safety. I think it's pretty awesome to pick up and go somewhere you haven't gone.
Yeah.
It is, you know, your choice what you want to do.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Well, I hope you're going to look up the Swedish, you know, tourism board and see what's there. I am, we've said before, like a professional tourist.
Right.
I always look for stuff to do. What's the highlight? What's the special thing? You know, botanical gardens, museums, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I kind of suss out what I want to do.
Yeah.
And without anybody slowing you down, Gato.
Yeah.
You know, the country is your oyster. I'm sure they have oysters in Sweden. Sweden sure. Where?
What Sweden and Iceland.
And Iceland.
Yeah.
So that's fairly exotic. Mm-hmm. And I have never been to either of those places. Yeah. So I would.
If I remember correctly, I believe there's Swedes in Iceland and ice in Swedeland.
Oh, I believe that's true.
Oh, I might be thinking of Greenland.
And Browns in Greenland, I think. I'm not sure. We're American. Every other country is just one thing.
Exactly.
So as far as going by yourself and saying, hey, am I going to meet someone here? That's something to look up. Look up the nightlife. Look up, you know, what's going on there.
Yeah.
Look up, stop by Amsterdam, go to the red light district.
Well, if you're looking for a quickie or, you know, a one night stand, you just want to fling. That's fantastic. If Schrodinger's Gato is going there to find love, Schrodinger's Gato better be prepared to move to Sweden or Iceland.
No, he's not. He just wants a little wink wink.
Okay.
He's not meeting anyone at touchdown, but he wouldn't mind hitting a home run.
Okay.
That's the Gato I know. that's what I gathered from his question. All right. So yeah, I mean, again, I'm so sorry you have one of those questions that I have to mom out about yep. COVID.
Yep.
So beyond that, though, you're free.
Yeah.
You know, you're free. Go where go where the young people are. I don't know how old you are.
Right. Yeah.
Either go to where the young people are or go to the senior center, depending on what you're looking for. And there's nothing in between.
No, that was those. Every other foreign country is all split up between teen centers and old age homes.
There's just grandchildren and grandparents, and no one knows how it happened. Do your research.
Yeah.
Do your research.
Yes, yes.
And find what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Find what the things you like to do, what interests you. Base your, you know, geography around that.
Yeah.
And then look for the social scenes.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in having a fling, kind of be honest about it, you know.
Right.
You know, it's there's I've had friends that have gone on vacation and fallen in love, and it's awful and heartbreaking, or it's a scam, mm-hmm. or like my friends have had every different. I sound like I have a million friends and they all do so much with their lives. I've just had a few friends that have had this situation
yeah.
come up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So whatever you're doing when you're down there looking to hook up, go to places where people look to hook up.
Right.
And kind of make it clear what you're after.
Yeah.
I mean, make it clear you're there. Not like I want to have your vagina.
Right.
Like not clear like that.
Right.
But just, you know, hey, I just want to have a good time.
And if it helps, tell whoever you're meeting that Lori Beth said it was okay.
Yeah, Lori Beth. I know that
she gave her approval.
I'm really big in Sweden. My numbers are huge. Have fun. Good luck. Be safe.
Yes, absolutely. I hope that helps, Gato. And now we're going to move to our rotating segment of the week. And it is one of our favorite. It is Inevitable Information.
And now, Lori Beth Denberg with more Inevitable Information for your everyday lives.
Oh my God, I still Yay. Haven't gotten over how cool that is.
Yeah.
Soup, the actual announcer from actual vital information, from actual all that, actually recorded that for us.
That's
very cool.
So cool.
So I said, Clark, let's do an inevitable information because I just remembered this crazy story.
Okay.
Of it's referred to in my brain and with others that were there as too many Girl Scouts.
Okay.
There was this, you know, Nickelodeon, we did our shows, you know, I did all that and
right.
figure it out.
Right.
But then there were also just dozens and dozens of little trips we took.
Right.
Nick takes over your school. We go to Ohio to do that there where the kid won.
Right.
You know, all different stuff. And I don't know what it was, but it was a Six Flags theme park, I believe, in San Jose, California, or near San Jose. And Irene Ung of Shelby Woo fame.
Oh, yeah.
She played Shelby Woo.
Nice.
She couldn't go at the last minute.
Oh.
So I got called in. I'm excellent second stringer.
Well, you were also, I mean, you came into all that close to 18.
Yeah.
So you were the eldest amongst all of the kind of Nick
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, so it's easy to throw
legally
in there.
Wise, it was much easier for them to bring yeah. you than another kid.
So it ends up being me and Amanda.
Oh, okay.
And Amanda's family, she must have been like maybe 11 or 12,
wow.
something like that. And so we go and we get there and there are too many Girl Scouts.
Oh no.
Well, no.
At the Six Flags?
Yeah. No, it wasn't like a getting crushed at the concert situation.
Okay.
It was just all Girl Scouts all the time. So we were just running around. I don't even remember what we necessarily did. We had a really good time.
Huh.
And it was one of those things where we were flying there because San Jose, it's like an hour flight
yeah.
from Los Angeles where I live.
Right.
So we flew up there and we did the thing and then we flew back. And it was this crazy whirlwind.
Mm.
But I just remember having such a good time. Such a good, good time. And Amanda was there with a few members of her family who I loved. And we just hung out and did this.
Who was the group? Like it was, there must have been a core group that was going around together. It was you and Amanda and just one or two members of her family?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then like a chaperone chickie from Nickelodeon. I think it was my friend Amy Baker.
Oh, okay.
Amy, if you're listening, I'd be surprised. You have a lot of things to do. So it was just like, really, first of all, I love theme parks.
Yeah.
Second of all, I love Amanda.
Yeah.
So we're all hanging out, but I was replacing Shelby Woo.
Right.
I went and I got one of those, you know, you get like your name burned into a piece of wood.
Right.
And so I got it said LB Woo. And that was like really, really fun.
That's hilarious.
But that was one of my, probably my favorite. It was actually such a relief because Amanda's there with her sister and her parents.
Mm.
And we all went out to dinner after.
In the park?
No, I think it was after. And Amanda was just tired and she and her sister were kind of like crabbing at each other. And I was like, it is so nice to see that you are real people, because they're always so happy and like all this stuff together. Not even on, but I mean, she's just a sweet girl.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for it. And her sister was awesome. And I went to go see her sister in her high school plays.
Okay.
And, you know, it was just, but just, I just remember being at like dinner and them being like, I don't want it, like crabby. And I was like, okay, I'm good now.
That's this funny. This is good.
And from that day forward, it was too many Girl Scouts. I wish I could remember what we were doing.
Yeah. It must have been because, you know, there's a Six Flags here in LA. Mm-hmm. And I've gone to Six Flags where there's, you know, Boy Scouts, something similar where they have specific days where everyone in a group is invited. It's Magic Mountain Day.
Yeah.
And they all come from all around. So it might have been an actual like Girl Scout meetup.
Oh, yeah. No,
like,
it totally was.
An official thing.
What's the one that people wait for? The golf? Is it like golf night at Disneyland?
Yeah. Bats Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
So people look forward to that. I want to go to Disneyland.
They just announced that there's like in 4 or 5 days, they're going to start selling tickets.
Oh.
And then at the end of the month, you're allowed to go in.
Okay.
And they said June is when they are going to open up the new Marvel Avengers campus at California Christ. Adventure.
Okay, you and I are going summer after next then.
Okay, sounds good. Because
there's going to be a line.
Oh, yeah. Until summer after next.
That ends up at your front door.
Yeah, exactly. We'll start here and we'll work our way to.
Yeah, I have so many of these. I don't know if this story was interesting to anyone.
Sure, sure, sure.
But it's like these, and I remember we went on a log flume. We went on a couple crazy rides, and I have pictures of all of
this.
Back when you had to have a camera.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, and it's just these isolated incidents are just like so stuck in my mind.
Yeah.
And the things that get stuck in my mind are, they're just special little memories.
Yeah, and it's fun too because during that time, you were so busy doing all of this shit in front of the camera.
Yeah.
I think it's fun to hear about things that were happening when the cameras weren't on.
And, it is.
And that you were really friends. Like, I know you, even at the time when we were hanging out, you used to talk about Shelby Wu all the time.
She lived with me for a while.
Loved Shelby Wu.
Yeah.
So it was just so nice to know that, yeah, in front of the cameras, you all look nice and friendly.
Yeah.
But also behind the scenes, you know, people really liked each other.
Yeah.
And were really friends.
I
think
like
that's
it.
Really sweet.
I liked it. I'm going to throw in another quick anecdote that just came to my head.
Sure.
I did something. It was Barbie University.
Whoa.
It was somewhere like in West Hollywood. It was just a big event with like the women that are like, I'm Barbie,
sure.
Which is like troublesome.
Sure, sure.
And it was all for girls. And they had different classes.
Huh.
And the kids would go to, you know, I don't know what it was, like an art class or a fashion class or a
pet grooming class.
Yeah, to learn like different stuff.
Yeah.
And I was there to be the MC for the like post-university ceremony.
Sure, sure.
And I'm like, but I need to know what's going on.
Right.
I want to go through the thing.
Right.
So I just go, and of course, I'm thinking, well, everyone knows I'm Lori Beth Denberg. Like, I'm here because I'm Lori Beth Denberg.
Sure, sure.
So I just go, and Nickelodeon gave me a chance. Like, I did not have, we've talked about before, I had a pretty shitty childhood.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, when I'm 18 and over, I have this, like, buffet of children childhood things to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm working at a theme park.
Right.
I'm doing all of this stuff that I can just really enjoy.
You're literally going to elementary school.
Yes, exactly. Which was a shock because
playing in the playground.
Exactly. So I went. So, of course, everyone must know exactly who I am. So I go up to the table and I think that this was for, I don't know, like 7 to 10-year-olds, something like that,
okay.
Girls. And I go up to the table. And I say to one of the women working, I go, I'd like to go to Barbie University.
Oh,
like
no.
All cute and funny, thinking she'll laugh.
Right.
And she just had this look like, I don't know what to do.
Oh, no.
I don't know what to do. she didn't know what to make of me.
Oh, no.
And I said it all crazy like that. Like, sure. I'd like to go to Barbie University because I wanted to know, you know,
what the kids were doing.
So that I could comment on it, during the MC, like, who had fun at the blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So then luckily, I mean, this woman just froze in her tracks. And I don't know if she was like, I don't know if you have a malady. I don't want to offend you or make you upset or have you rip my head off in a rage. So luckily, someone else who had brought me to the event came and said, oh, no, this is the MC, blah, blah. And so I got to go. But it's just that one. That's like the reason I don't. If someone recognizes me, I make them actually ask.
Okay.
This is, I don't know if we've talked about the rules before.
Right. I certainly not. I don't know if we've talked about it on the air.
Yeah. So my rule is I will do anything. I'll take a picture or, you know, sign out of whatever, all that kind of stuff. But you have to actually ask.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to go around the whole time and be like, well, of course, you know me. I'm from TV.
Right.
Because that's super gross.
There's also just a lot of people out there who will just say your name and then just like look at you waiting for you to do something.
Yeah. Or the worst, sing the All That theme song five feet from me. But the real reason is because I know I'm going to do that one time and then someone's going to be like, no, you went to Nobel Junior High, right?
Right.
And then it's like, how big of a fucking asshole am I?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so that's kind of what I did with this woman at the table. Like, of course she knows me. She'll think it's so funny that I want to go to Barbie University.
Right.
And it was just this horrible moment for her.
Oh, that is so funny.
Of just like, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to handle this. And luckily the other chickie came and helped me out.
Oh, that's good.
And it was gorgeous.
Did you pass? Did you graduate?
Of course not. You know my history with education.
You flunked out of Barbie University.
I was on my way to the dean's list and then it all fell apart.
Oh, that's really
funny. I got kicked out for biting Ken's dick off. That's where it happened.
All right. I like it. All right. Well, that was really fun. I do have one last question though before we go.
Okay.
And this is from somebody named Mary.
Hi, Mary.
And this is what Mary asks. She says, "Hi, my name's Mary from Louisiana, and I got this guy that wants to have a relationship with me. I've known him for about 2 years, and he says he loves me. I want to let him get close to me. I really do, but he comes up with all these hollow promises, and I'm not really sure I can trust him because he's not that dependable. He only shows up about 60% of the time, so 40% of the time, I'm feeling lonely and mad. When he does show up, he's really fun to be with. He's really cool, and I like him, but I don't know what to do. You're the kind of person that doesn't sugarcoat stuff, and that's the way I am, and that's why I like you, and I thought you could help me with this. What do you think I should do? Should I sit him down and tell him to change or else I'm out? Or do I just say bye?"
Ay, adios mio, Mary.
Yeah.
I don't sugarcoat things.
Nope.
And I'm hoping I'm not going to be too biased from my own experiences with this.
I picked this question for a reason.
Oh, God. Clark knows the terrible trajectory of my love life.
Yeah.
But it's looking up. I have no evidence for that. That is not, my love life is in a box. It could be alive and dead at the same time.
Schrodinger's love life.
Schrodinger's love life. Mary, I have been in this situation.
Yep.
I regret letting it go on so long.
Yeah. Yeah.
I asked for what I needed.
Yes.
And got the lies.
Sure.
And got, you know, what turned out to be lies.
I can totally do that.
Yes. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that.
I can change.
If you haven't yet, you can, she says what, 2 years?
Known him for about 2 years and he says he loves me.
Okay. See, I feel bad that I'm like putting my relationship and my experience on you. Like, if he really loves you, girl, like I'm your bad girlfriend that gets on the phone. It's like, you got to kick him to the curb, girl. You deserve better than that. But you do.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
So if you haven't, you can sit him down. You don't even have to sit him down. It's not like the principal's office.
Right.
But tell him what you're feeling.
Yeah.
What you need and what you're not getting.
Yes.
And say.
And don't dance around it.
No.
Don't make it like a metaphor.
Yeah.
You gotta be super blunt.
Well, super blunt, but also if you want to be with him, it's not like this is the problem when you have, you know, the sitcom like dreary guy and the battle axe wife.
Right.
You know, everyone has their little, you know, persona that they're supposed to fill in the caricature of.
Right.
So if you want to be with this guy, if it's 60% good, mm-hmm. you know, you can say, look, this is really good, but it's not giving me what I need.
Yeah.
Here's what I need.
And there might be an opportunity. Look, the right man would hear that.
Yeah.
And respond with, okay, well, I need to do X, Y, and Z, which is causing me to flake out on you or whatever. How do we solve this?
Yes.
Right? Because maybe that's a problem. Maybe it's he needs to be more upfront with you about, you know, I got to work late all this week, or I got to, you know, be gone this weekend. Whatever it is, it's clearly not enough for you. And he needs to hear that and respond well enough to not jump out of his skin and be like super defensive.
Yeah.
But also just listen to you and try, and maybe you two can try and fix the problem together.
Yes.
Because a problem like this is not going to be solved by you doing something or just him doing something.
Exactly. However, if you have a talk with him.
Yeah.
And he gives you the answers you want to hear.
Right.
That doesn't mean much without the action behind it.
Yes, exactly.
That is where I was. I heard what I want to hear. I got told what I wanted to hear. I got just enough to keep me hanging on. And at the end of it, I left that relationship with this overwhelming sense of humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
By looking back to the first time I ever had to ask for what I wanted and not just calling it quits then.
Yep.
And because I knew.
Yeah.
I really knew. And I just, it's like, oh, it could be so close to what I want. This could be great. And I kept getting hurt and hurt and hurt and hurt.
Right.
And I allowed that.
Yeah.
I allowed that by sticking with something because I heard what I wanted to hear.
It wasn't your fault. I don't think anyone could ever blame you for sticking around and wanting to make this relationship work.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking back on it, it was a poor decision.
Yeah, it was. It was really hard.
Yeah.
It was really hard being in the relationship.
Yeah.
And hoping, and maybe if I do this, then that'll be the thing that pushes it toward what I want, you know.
But it's even harder after the relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
After it was.
Because you look back on it with such fucking regret.
Yeah. And I don't want to be in that position ever again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll probably stupidly do it again. Like,
I don't know.
But that was such a destructive period of time for me.
Yeah.
That, you know, if I could go back to 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, it was like 4 years and then a lot of time afterwards.
Yeah.
Really stuck in a bad place. And Clark knows.
Yeah.
And so you can tell him what you need to tell him. Who's this from?
This is from Mary.
That's what I thought. I almost just said Mary.
Mary from Louisiana.
But I doubted myself. Tell him what you need to tell him.
Yeah.
Ask for what you need.
Yeah.
That's the difference. It's not so much saying, you don't give me this. It's here's what I need.
Right. And hopefully you'll get a response that isn't just promises.
Yeah.
Promises are great, but promises can be broken. You don't need a promise. You need a plan.
You need a plan. And at this point in a relationship, I feel like communication is very important.
Yeah.
But at this point, I don't need to be told. I need to be shown.
Yes. 100%.
And action is what I'm after.
Mm-hmm.
Is showing me that you're invested, showing me that you care about what I need.
Because for a lot of things, you know, even if they like, I would hate for somebody, I would hate for Mary to tell him what she needs, why she's upset, for him to placate her and say like, yeah, I'm so sorry, I'll make sure I never do it again. And then he just slow drips her for another 3 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to help you avoid, Mary. You know? And your boyfriend isn't my ex-boyfriend. Right. I hope it's not.
I certainly hope it's not.
It's the same guy. Let's get together. yeah, I mean, obviously I have a real personal stake in this kind of situation.
Yeah.
But I am not in Louisiana with you. I don't know. But to me, actions speak, to coin a phrase, actions speak louder than words.
Oh, I like it.
So that's what I would be interested in seeing.
Yeah.
Once you say, here's what I need.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, if he's not going to give you what you need, you have your answer.
Yeah.
You have your answer.
And it's a sad answer, but you can't let the sadness of the answer keep you from the reality of what that means.
Yeah.
You know, it is sad, but it will be sad when you break up with him, and it'll be sad if you stay with him. So you might as well just break up with him now.
Yes.
And try and find somebody that doesn't make you sad.
That would be the best advice we've ever given. Try to find someone who doesn't make you sad. What a low bar that I'm looking for in a relationship.
Oh, God.
I'm looking for a guy who just backhands me.
No more fists.
No more fists, but just a quick backhand. Maybe on the bottom to knock the salami off.
That would be good. Well, this has been quite an episode.
I feel a little serious and a little tired.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Yeah. But I think we helped out a lot of people and told some fun stories along the way, and hopefully everyone had some fun. If you have any questions for Lori Beth, we're looking for questions.
If it's, you know, relationship based, sex based, any friendship based, anything.
Travel, pets.
Yeah.
We're looking for any kind of questions, and hopefully you've got some good ones. If you have anything, please send it to us at AskLoriBeth.com. You can hit us up on all the socials at AskLoriBeth, or just leave us a message with your name and where you're from at 1-855-DENBERG. That's 1-855-DENBERG, 1-855-336-2374.
And you can find me at LB Denberg on Instagram.
That's right.
And at Lori Beth Denberg on Twitter, and at the Lori Beth Denberg fan page on Facebook. And there's so many places for me to forget to post for you to see. And if you want to book me for a personalized video for a loved one.
Or hated one.
Or anyone, a stranger. Just pick someone out of the phone book and freak them out.
Yeah, there you go. Jerk style.
Book me at cameo.com/LoriBeth.
Yay. All right. Thank you so much for listening, you guys. I had a great time. Did you have a good time today, Lori?
I had a good time. And thank you for listening, little bunnies.
Woo! Thank you for listening. Bye.
That Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com, or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.